Our attorney is Mark Lane. Mark is a lawyer admitted to practice in both New York State and the District of Columbia. He has tried cases throughout the United States in both federal and state courts. He has written 9 books about contemporary legal matters and has helped to write law as a member of the New York State Legislature and as an executive assistant to a United States congressman. Mark has taught law at the law school at Catholic University of America in Washington, D.C., and has lectured at numerous law schools, universities, and at Bar Association conferences. His work has been praised by contemporary figures from Norman Mailer, an heroic and historic contribution, he said, about Mark's work, to Bertrand Russell, who said Lane's work, Rush to Judgment, is greater than Zola in the Dreyfus case, and to historian Arnold Toynbee, who said Lane's work is an unchallengeable and significant contribution to history. Mr. Lane's work included, he was an active leader in opposition to America's involvement in Vietnam. He organized anti-war groups at U.S. Air Force and Army bases in the United States and successfully represented scores of GIs who were prosecuted for expressing their political views. It gives me great pleasure to introduce Mark Lane.
Thank you. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or of the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. That's the First Amendment. The United States Constitution has been law since December 15, 1791, and we're here today when we see our Constitution and what it is we believe in so fiercely under attack to say we are standing up here to petition our government and to respectfully request and now to demand answers to the questions that not me but that you have been asking for years under the leadership of Bob Silver. I've practiced law now for more than 52 years, more than half a century, which is, if it's a frightening thought, about one quarter of the history of the entire American judicial experience. And I have never seen a time when our Constitution, our rights, were so fiercely under attack. The American people said to this president, do not go to war in Iraq. We said it in numbers unprecedented in the history of this country. In London, they said it to Tony Blair. The largest demonstration in London in the history of Great Britain. And they went to war, nevertheless. And your organization, under the leadership of Bob Schultz, has challenged the war powers abuse by this government, and all of the other issues as well, which we have received no responses to. And so now we are saying to the United States District Court here in the District of Columbia, we would like you to compel the government to answer the questions we have so respectfully asked, so persistently asked, and asked for so many years. So we're asking the court now to direct that. This is not, and let's make it really clear, this is not a tax case. This is a case, a petition case, the right of the American people to receive answers. And on the question of... On the question of tax, let me make this really plain. I know many of you have submitted affidavits, and many of you are informing the government through this case that you are retaining your money and you're not paying taxes at the present time. Now, I'm an attorney here. I'm going to talk about the case, but I have ethical obligations to raise these questions with you. There are now, Bob tells me, there are well over 2,000 people now who want to be plaintiffs in this case, and it's going to be very difficult for me to talk to each and every one of you individually, but I have to talk to you at least in groups, and then individually if you have questions. The information will be posted on the website. You know the website. The information will be there. Among other things, you'll be asked specifically to submit statements with your address. Some of these affidavits do not have addresses. In addition to that, none of the affidavits have specifics as to how you have been retaliated against. There's like a multiple choice of one in one of these ways. We need three or four sentences or four or five sentences from each of you about the specifics. And this is crucial also. Remember this. You need not retain your taxes in order to be a plaintiff in this case. That is not a requirement. You have the right to petition the government and continue to pay taxes if that's what you want to do. So although the present complaint, which you have before you, which will be filed today, does say that the plaintiffs have retained their tax money and are not paying taxes until there's an answer, the fact is that's true about those plaintiffs. Those plaintiffs are two organizations and four people, all of whom, Bob and three others, the other three are all have been associated with the IRS, as you see from reading the complaint. And they all have taken that position. So when it says in the complaint that the plaintiffs are retaining their money until there's an answer, that's referring to those. If anyone wants to be a plaintiff in this case and wants to continue to pay taxes or doesn't want to tell the government that I'm not paying taxes, I mean, we know there are risks involved here. What are the risks? In one of the numerous demonstrations that Bob organized, the New York Times was present, and the reporter for the New York Times was very impressed with the arguments that had been made and said to a spokesperson from the IRS, why don't you answer their questions? And the answer was, we're answering those questions with law enforcement actions, enforcement proceedings. Well, that's their attitude. You have to know that going in. That's the risk. That's their attitude. And if you want to join this case and continue to pay taxes, you can do so. If you want to join this case and not pay taxes, that's a decision that you can make however you wish to make it and whatever the basis is. But you should know that this information will be given to the government. That's the whole idea of this lawsuit. It will be given to the government. It will be on the website where the government and everybody else can see it as well. And if that's a problem for you, or you think the risk is too great, then act accordingly. But if you want to be in the case and pay taxes, you can do that, or you can proceed any way that you want. So that's my first ethical obligation to you, is to tell you about the risks of litigation. That's certainly one of the risks of litigation here. What are we doing about that? In the lawsuit, we are pointing out that people are being retaliated against because they're exercising their petition, their right to petition, and we're asking the court to restrain the government from retaliating against anyone who is being retaliated against because they are petitioning, and as part of that petition, they believe they are going to make that petition stronger by retaining their tax money, the tax money. Remember, we're asking the court. Lawyers propose, judges dispose. So all we can do is ask the court, and we have no idea how the court will rule on that question. So there certainly is nothing like a guarantee that the court's not, that the government will not come after you with a proceeding because we've asked the court to stop them. We don't know what the court is going to do. There are different judges in this district, as there are in every district, and different judges have different ideas about how things should go. I know of a couple of judges who I've tried cases before in the past. I think if we should be chosen by one of those judges, we'd have a better chance than if we are chosen by some of the other judges, because the system of justice is a lot less than perfect, as you know. And it varies from judge to judge. If we lose this case, we'll take it to the United States Court of Appeals, which is the next step. If we lose there, then we will try to take it to the United States Supreme Court. This is the path in which you go. You have no absolute right. You have an absolute right to take it to the Court of Appeals. You do not have an absolute right to take it to the United States Supreme Court. You have an absolute right to ask the United States Supreme Court. It's called the writ of certiorari, to ask the United States Supreme Court to entertain the case. Most times they do not do that if they have an interest in it, because of one reason or another they will often do it. The theory is if different circuits are taking different positions, then they should take the case in order to resolve those differences in different circuits in the United States. But they have other political agendas as well as to why they take cases. So that's the way that works. The abuse of the war powers is all the issues that we raised in the petition are clearly important, but the issue of the war powers, people are dying now. American kids, they're not even kids, not all of them are kids anymore, as you know. Honorably discharged veterans have been brought back, over 5,000 of them recently, to go to Iraq and Afghanistan. And it's all being done by a president who does not have an illustrious military background. I wonder if you ever read this in the Houston Chronicle, May 8th, 1994. This is a statement to the Houston Chronicle by George W. Bush, the present president. This, of course, is before he was president, before he ran, talking about his service to the government. He said, "I was not prepared to shoot my eardrum out with a shotgun in order to get a deferment, nor was I willing to go to Canada. So I chose to better myself by learning how to fly airplanes." That's the statement from our military, the commander-in-chief at the present time. You'll note when you read the complaint that we don't have Mr. Bush as a named defendant for a number of reasons, one of them being that I think the idea of deposing the president on the tax system would be very confusing and would elicit actually no information which we would be able to understand. This is President Bush's statement, September 13th, 2000, in Westminster, California. Maybe he's on our side this time. You listen, see if you can figure it out. If you do, please tell me what he means. "The best way to relieve families from time is to let them keep some of their own money." That's his position, I think, on the tax questions. And there is one, and if you ask for an explanation, here we know what the answer will probably be. This is now in Portland, Oregon, October 31st, 2000. He said, "Never again in the halls of Washington, D.C., do I want to have to make explanations that I can't explain." And I must say, the last and my personal favorite is the speech that President Bush made while president in Tokyo. This is just February 18th, 2002. This is what he said. for a century and a half now, 150 years, for a century and a half now, America and Japan have formed one of the great and enduring alliances of modern times. Now, I remember about 60 years ago, in 1941, first week in December, as I recall, and the place was Pearl Harbor, and this president's father fought heroically in that war, as a matter of fact. And I, too, I was 18 years old. I was in the Army during World War II. And I never thought... I never thought that we had a great and enduring relationship with the Japanese government for 150 years. I can think of at least one glitch in that period of time. Okay. This is the way we're going to proceed. Now, let me just say one word about what's taking place in Iraq. I spoke at an international security conference in Canada shortly after September 11th. And people were concerned, will there be another attack, you think? I said, I don't think there'll be one in the near future in the United States. It's kind of like lightning. I mean, why does lightning not strike twice, same place? It doesn't have to. This attack has done what bin Laden wanted. It has terrorized the American people. And now we have red alerts, yellow alerts, different colors which are supposed to mean something, planes being grounded, terror. Some of it coming right from this city, aimed at the American people. We have the Patriot Act. We have violations of our Constitution. And if you read Bin Laden is the best, has been the best-selling author in the Arabic countries. The best-selling author. He's been around for a long time. As you probably know, his family and the Bush family go back two generations together. In terms of dealings, there's no question about that. The Bin Laden family bailed Bush out from an oil interest project with huge contributions, and their relationship with the Saudis is also very, very close and enduring. And they nevertheless have failed to understand what is taking place. There's a bottom line in all of this. The coalition forces, they call themselves, it's really the Americans with the British and a few other people there, have a... what they call an independent polling organization, which operates out of Baghdad. It's made up of Iraqis, and they're distinguished folks, and they're trained pollsters. And they did a poll, and the poll was conducted just before the stories of terrible abuse in the prisons in Iraq and Afghanistan and Guantanamo, everywhere we have prisons, apparently military prisons, there's been great abuse, indicating it's not one or two sergeants or corporals. It goes far beyond that. In any event, before that story broke, they had just completed a survey for the coalition, and they had to release it to the coalition before they could release it to the rest of the world because they were working for the coalition. It was 1,600 people in seven Iraqi cities, and the question was asked, would you feel safer or less safe if all the American troops left? 92% said we want them to leave. We'll feel safer if all the American troops leave. Now, if we're trying to teach democracy to them, although they've been around thousands of years before we had our country, but if we want to teach democracy to the Iraqis, doesn't it kind of begin with if 92% of the people want something, you should do it? But we're there, and our kids are dying, and they don't want us to be there. So that's where we are, and that we are trying to bring to the attention of the American people through this lawsuit all of these questions to try to bring to them answers from the government to these questions, including, obviously, the tax issues that have been raised so eloquently, so repeatedly. Okay, this is what the lawsuit says. It'll be filed today. It's a lawsuit with six plaintiffs, We the People Foundation, We the People Congress, and Bob Schultz, who you know. The other three are Joseph Bannister,
who's a former special agent of the Criminal Investigation Division of the IRS. That's paragraph 7, paragraph 8. John Turner, who's a former revenue officer of the IRS. And paragraph 9, Sherry Jackson, who is a former revenue agent of the Internal Revenue Service. And that's... That's how it begins. And the complaint lists exactly what it is that has happened over the years, and it's supported by an affidavit by Bob Schultz, which lists in great detail all these responsible efforts to petition the government. And the relief that we seek is that the government be ordered to answer these questions. Right to petition is obviously meaningless if it just means you can ask a question. Right to petition means that you ask a question and you get a responsible answer. You may not get a truthful answer, that would be too much to hope for, but a responsible answer, some kind of an answer. And that's what we are asking the court to do. We're also asking the court to prevent the government from retaliating against those who are petitioning in this case and who are taking any action in support of that petition. We're asking for that. We're asking for the court to expedite the proceedings, to move as quickly as possible, to retain jurisdiction over the case, so that in case the court should order the IRS, the Treasury Department, to answer questions, that it maintains jurisdiction to see that they are, in fact, answering questions. And we ask for all other relief, non-financial, this is not a case for money, all other relief which the court considers to be proper. Above all, starting with the declaratory relief to declare that these agencies have to answer the government. We're also asking for a class action certification. I'll discuss that with you very briefly. There are a couple of ways to do this. One is to have a class appointed, and we are asking for that now. We're going to see how that moves along. Sometimes it takes the court a long time generally. In every class action case I've been associated with or read about or studied, a long time, sometimes many, many months, sometimes years, to decide if it's going to certify a class. And it does give the court a certain control when there's a class action. They can say, we don't know if you have the right lawyer, or they can say, we're not sure that the lawyer should be talking to the members of the class at this point, et cetera. So there are problems with class action. The great advantage is once you have the class certified, then you can speak on behalf of the whole class, and it's not just the people who joined in, but people throughout the whole country who are similarly situated can be considered to be part of the class. There are disadvantages as well, and I've outlined them. There, however, are also other procedures where you can bring an action which is class action-like, but it's not a class action, in which you all come in as plaintiffs, and others can come as plaintiffs also. And it's a little more unwieldy, but it doesn't have the time problem that class action certification has. And so we're retaining the right to do both at the present time. At the present time today, it will be just 6 plaintiffs. Within the next short period of time, we will amend this complaint, which we have the right to do one time without the court's permission. If we file an amended complaint before there is an answer, well, the government has 30 days and they generally don't do anything quickly. They generally will ask for more time. But we have some weeks anyway to amend the complaint, and amending the complaint would bring in all of you and others who want to join in the case and make any, changes to the complaint that we want to make at the present time. So that's the process. And we can also, if we think that the court is going to act quickly, that's one thing. If we think it's going to be delayed a bit, we may ask for a temporary restraining order to have the court deal with that question. I would rather not at this point go in that direction. I don't want the court to get involved on the question of, as the first question, the question of should people have the right to retain taxes. I think what we want the first thing to do is to have the court look at this whole case, not just that part of it, the whole case, and say, these people should have their questions answered. That's the right of petition. We'd rather focus on that at the present time. But we'll see how things proceed and what's taking place, and if, in fact, you all are the government is meeting its threat, the IRS meets its threat, then we'll have to try to find some way to ask the court, again, specifically to stop that. At the present time, that isn't part of the case already. It's present, asking the court for a temporary injunction to prevent any retaliation. So that's basically the way it goes. I think we have to figure out a mechanism, and I think we have a mechanism worked out so we can be in touch. And that is, there will be notices on the website about how you can submit updated affidavits with the additional information that I suggested. There'll be places on the website where you can ask specific questions, and if maybe 30 or 40 people ask the same question, that would be great. Then we just have one answer on the website to apply to all of those questions. There'll also be a place on the website, we were just talking about this morning, where I will make myself available in my office a certain number of hours every week, and you'll know exactly what the hours are and what the telephone number is or what the email is, either way, and you can communicate directly with me. I mean, it's really important that you feel that any question you have is going to be addressed by counsel. So it's not that easy with a couple of thousand, and I don't know, Bob hasn't been home for a few hours, the number may be 4,000 by now in terms of the material, letters and FedEx and UPS is coming in. But whatever the number is, we're going to deal with it, and if it doesn't get out of hand, I want to be able to talk personally with anyone who has a question. And all of that information will be posted on the website, and we're starting today a great historic process, and I'm really honored to be in this with you.